Tonight, I just want to share with us briefly on the forces that provokes restoration. Last Sunday, we looked at the protocol of restoration. Tonight, we want to look at the forces, the spiritual forces that makes for restoration in the life of an individual. You know, while you were worshiping, the Lord began to tell me some things that I will need to study maybe for a lifetime. The spiritual realm is deep. Men become by reason of their ascensions in the spirit. There are things locked up in your womb that will never open up except as you gain height. Because when you look upon the light of heaven, you begin to see your eternal dimensions. It is in him that you can find yourself. Because as he is, so are we. We were designed to mirror him. And so all of the deep dimensions of God are locked in the spirit. He said we have all these blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so God began to speak to me when you were worshiping. See, people who carry God, when you find them, honor them, they can unlock things in you that may take eternity for you to finish unraveling. You have now set me on a course. You know what God told me? He told me about the 7 eternal dimensions of man. What will make man walk in his full element in the order of the Christ. And he said the first is the force of life. It dawned on me for the first time that there's a river of life locked in my inside. You know, I've preached it, I've quoted it. How can something die in me if there's a river of life in me? That means we may need to study the operations of the life within all our time here, and we will not exhaust it. And it's not just a river, many rivers. If we tap into those rivers, nothing in us will die. And I believe that the church that we find immortality, we understand something about the life that is locked on the inside. And the day we know it, men will live forever. You know, there are some men walking on earth who have not died. And there are some men who have defied the limitations of death that has affected man on account of the fall. And we have read of some of them. The hermits. Those are fathers that discovered something in intimacy that kept them alive. They couldn't die. Even in the early church, the story was told about John. They tried everything to kill him. They couldn't kill him. He found something about life that was not written in the chronicles. Those ones are captured in the heavens. That's why when the voice of the 7 thunders spoke, he wanted to write. He said, no, don't write it. There are certain things that men will have to come to Zion to find it. They are deeper than doctrine. They are born in intimacy. And we heard from church history that they threw him into boiling oil. He couldn't die. They tied him to a chariot, drew him around the city. He couldn't die. So they cast him to an island called Patmos. Patmos means death. The island of death. Even in the island of death, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He has overcome death. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He had taught something about life that death couldn't defile him. So in those days, the early fathers called him John the Divine. There are forces. See, man is a mystery. When the psalmist said, what is man? Because the highest expression of God's creative enterprise was demonstrated in man. There's so much to find. And when you were worshiping, God began to open. You know, these things are scrolls. You have to wait so that the word of the Lord can come to you. 7 things about the eternal dimensions of man. The force of life within. It told me about authority over devils. The power that we have to rule in the demonic realm. We have not known it. A day will come when a generation will discover the authority of the believer. And when we walk in the fullness of that authority, if you come to a territory, every demon will flee. You will not need to say in the name of Jesus. Because the idea is not to say in the name of Jesus. The idea is to come in the name of the Lord. Because when you show up, you become an embodiment of the government of heaven. But you see, we have not understood it. That's why even when we say in the name of Jesus, nothing happens. When you understand your authority and you show up, the devil will not just flee. Everything the devil is doing will stop. And so the bondage of corruption will be rolled away because of your presence. Hope you know that even creation is in bondage because of the bondage of corruption. There is a dimension of authority you carry that when you come to a place, even the grass will find liberty. I heard of a man who went to a dry land to wait upon the Lord. And while he was there, in 6 hours of prayer, all the grasses grew up and taller than him. So the force that made that land barren shifted because a man was touching powers in the heavens. Those are dimensions. So do you know why when Paul was writing in the book of Ephesians? You opened some things, but we will study, we will journey. Thank you for putting us on a path. The path. God told me about the womb that birthed nations. The womb. We are supposed to be custodians and parents of nations. Because what it began with Abraham is supposed to be the heritage of every believer. Everyone seated here is supposed to have capacity enough to birth a nation. But you see, there's something about the womb that you will find only when you understand priesthood. Because it's as soon as Zion travails that she brings forth children. And those children are nations. Nations. So, is it possible that you will go to heaven with nations locked on your inside? So you begin as a believer. You become a city. And then you become a nation. And then you become the father of nations. So there are levels of transformation in the spirit that brings you to a place where you become actually one who births nations. Those are dimensions locked in man that he will find when he gets into Christ. This thing is not a religion. It's a deep journey in the spirit. I sat here. The Holy Ghost was just downloading. That's why when you touch me that it was time, I say, is it 35 minutes already? I went somewhere. Where men are taught in the school of light. Chronicles that are eternal. They are deeper than the things you read in the classroom. They are dictated into your spirit by the tongue of fire. The same way the law was written, that's how it will be crested upon the tablets of your heart, and it will eat up your soul until you become that which was spoken. Let it flow, let it flow. If you ask me, would have worshipped throughout the night and gone home, so that a man won't preach. Let the Holy Ghost himself preach tonight, so that he can talk into your heart. Because when he talks into your heart, the tablets of your heart becomes the oracle of God. And so when you stand, you reflect the glory of the Father. The glory. They won't see you anymore, because we all with open faces, beholding us in the glass, the glory of the Lord, we are metamorphosed. We are transfigured into that glory. That's when the Holy Ghost becomes the teacher, because he doesn't give you information. He breathes the breath of life over you. And when he breathes upon you, a point comes, you become like an immortal. You stand on earth and your head is in the spirit. Because when you talk, your voice will be in the similitude of the likeness of the oracles of God. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow.
So let it flow right here, right now.
Let it flow, let it flow. Go to my message. That's a different frequency. That one is for the secret place. You know, Paul said we speak wisdom amongst them that are perfect. There are some things that is not for church. It's among the council of elders. When you go into the Holy of Holies, that's where it is talked about. So that those who are creatures of time will not bring doctrine and use only brain to analyze it. It's a holy men of God speak as they were carried. Some syllables is in doctrine to help the believer, but there are realms beyond theology. Those are the things that make us invincible. The scripture is a boundary that keeps us in accuracy. But there are realities that are deep, that only heaven can open it and show you where it is in the Bible. It's a body. Let me list it so that somebody will go and study. You do your own study. I've talked three, right? The third thing God showed me while he was ministering is the protocol of the transfiguration of man. He said it begins from mortification, where the flesh, the power of the flesh is mortified. So you live above sin. Then it goes into quickening. where your body begins to function actually as the temple of the Holy Ghost. Because God can move through this body. This is your body. The way the anointing moves and you feel it. A time will come when it will become like your natural operations. And you can activate it by faith anytime, any day. That is the conduit through which the life within you can flow. When you master how to make the body the temple of the Holy Ghost. You have mortified the flesh. You know, Romans 8:13 speaks about mortifying the flesh. Romans 8:11 talks about the quickening of the body. So the flesh is mortified. The mortal body is quickened. When the mortal body is quickened, then you go into transformation. Where the mind is renewed. And then you proceed into transfiguration. In transfiguration, the glory begins to show up on your body. The way Moses came down from Sinai and his face began to shine. And after glorification, then you enter into the fullness of immortality. Where you are not just living forever, but you live without corruption. That's the realm Jesus operated in. And it's a dimension for man. You see what? We don't need to waste our time in church doing things that are secular. There are things that our generation needs to touch. The fathers have tried, but the mileage we need to cover is still much. Imagine if a man understands the technology of transfiguration. How can cancer live here? You can change the molecular structure. That means you can enter your room. You know what to do in prayer. And the cancerous cells can change. It's a technology. You can alter molecular structures and places where cancer has afflicted will change. Not because you receive healing, but because you know a technology in the corridor of the transfiguration of man. Why do you think people like Jesus were never sick? You can't touch. Every cell is transfigured. That's the goal of his priesthood. He said, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment, even the cloth he wore, began to shine. Because the weight and the effulgence of the glory was so much that the material, the fabric too, began to be transfigured. And we are here fighting one another. When there is so much to learn in the spirit. The church has been on earth for more than 2,000 years. We are still infants. The things of the spirit, we have not learned it. And there are men who cannot host these dimensions. All we have is organized service. It's a body. It's a body. There's a journey in the spirit. Make up your mind to serve God and to seek him. The Bible said, they that journey to the deep, they are the ones that see the wonders of God. There are wonders made available for humanity. But where are those who can journey? The journeys of the spirit. That you can walk with Elohim in the secret parts of the spirit. That's where David found. He found him so deep that he said, even in the presence of my enemies, my cup runs over. If I stand here, you may think I'm here. I'm in the spirit. That's what Elijah found. He said, he's standing in the presence of God. While he was in the palace. That means when men walk, they carry dimensions with them. They carry heaven with them. They carry the places that they have visited in Christ. It follows them as a covering. When he said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth in. They are the realms of Christ. That men carry with them. See the weight that one man brought into a service. He changed my message all of a sudden. Because that realm is a government. It will change everything that is lower than it in ranking in the spirit. So you can't be talking restoration when there are realms of transfiguration. When there are realms of glorification. So he brought us to a higher plane by singing a song. He didn't teach. He just worshipped. But that worship, because of his intimacy with God, it became a gangway to Zion. And as you follow him, you will discover that you have ascended to the high quarters of the spirit where immortals converge. Your service moves from a building. It becomes an enclave of spirit beings. This is church, brothers and sisters. And this is the new era. That is why it has become a church without war. The glory is not the size of the auditorium. It's the height where we converge. Witches don't have building, but they meet in deep places in the spirit. And for you to even attend their meeting, you must understand the technology of removing this garment. This is what Paul spoke about. He said, I groan in the spirit. That I might be clothed with the heavenly tabernacle. So Paul knew there was a technology through priesthood to remove this garment and wear the celestial dimension. Why you are yet on earth, not when the rapture takes place. Who taught him those realms?
This is why a generation must cry. Because we have heritages in the spirit that we have not scratched. There are dimensions in Christ that we have not touched. Our arrogance have kept us in time and we think we have arrived. So when a spirit that is immortal whispers to you, you will discover that your age is a waste. Because you have not touched the things that are immortal. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow.
Oh, let it flow right here, right now.
Let me stop here. If I continue, it will be important. The forces that provokes restoration. Let's talk from earth. God. May we not discover in heaven the things we should leave on earth. We must find them here and experience them before we go there. Because there's an economy for the world to come. But there are levels of glory that we must also manifest while we are yet in time. It's as you maximize it that you know what life really is. And God will help us. God will help us to begin to experience the things that the Spirit whispers to our hearts. John chapter 10 verse 10. Let me reduce the energy so that we can share some things. I've had my service already. I just want to give you principles now to apply. It said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It said, but I am come that you might have life, and you might have life more abundantly. When Jesus began to speak in this manner, he went very deep to explain to us the forces that control human civilization. There are three things captured in this scripture in two dimensions. The negative dimension and the positive dimension. Each of which three things were manifested. The first are entities. The thief and the Christ. The second is their government. Death and life. And the third is their operations. To steal and to destroy. And that you might live abundantly. These are two parallel operations that Jesus was enumerating in this scripture. And so it goes to let you know that every circumstance a man finds himself in, he is interacting with a being, the government of that being, and the realities that accompany that being. So, there is a state you find yourself. It means you are under the influence of the thief. And the influence of the thief manifests in form of death. And that death comes about through the things he steals from you and the destructions he brings upon you. And then when you are in a state where you are living life abundantly, it means you are also under the influence of the Christ. Because the government of the Christ is revealed by life. And the impact of that life is that you live abundantly. These are two parallel operations. I'm explaining this so that you understand the basis for restoration. The reason we talk about restoration is because men have wandered into the side of the other government. And so that government have stolen things from them. So when you encounter Christ of necessity, the things stolen from you must be restored. This is the parallel that exists between light and darkness. While light furnishes you with life abundantly, darkness steals from you until you are destroyed. And so when a Christian comes into relationship with Christ, he needs to understand that certain things were stolen from him and he must insist to have them back. Because in Christ, all things becomes his. And so he must insist to experience all things. Because you can have all things legally in Christ, but experientially, you may not be experiencing it. The power of restoration is to make sure that you experience all the things that are yours in Christ. Because the way the thief steals from you is that he covers a lot of mileage in your heart. It's in your heart that you lose ground. So bitterness is a channel through which he steals. Malice is a channel through which he steals. Ignorance is a channel through which he steals. When you are insisting in restoration, you are first of all recovering the grounds stolen in your heart so that you can experience the things that are yours in Christ that the thief has established dominion over. It is on that basis that you will live life to the full. And so I summarized the operation of the thief as darkness, because it's darkness that reflects his being, it's darkness that reflects his government, and it's darkness that reflects his operation. Now, it's important to let you know that there are two dimensions to darkness. When we are talking about darkness here, we are referring to the darkness that has to do with the thief, evil, and its government. Now, in Exodus 20 verse 21, Moses was talking, and he said, Moses went into the deep darkness where God was. Moses stepped into the deep darkness where God was. In 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 12, Solomon said, the Lord had said, I shroud myself with darkness. So God dwells also in deep darkness. But when we talk about this type of darkness, we are not talking evil. We are talking mysteries. The mystical dimensions of God. So that the knowledge of God cannot be exhausted. So the type of darkness that is attributed to God are the mysteries of God that makes God exclusively omniscient amongst all creation. This is why the Bible said, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So when you think you are trying to destroy the works of God, you are advancing it. It's a type of darkness. God operates in mysteries. This type of darkness is for our glory. The mysteries of God that makes the programs of God unknowable until he reveals it to you. This is an advantage to us. So when we talk darkness, don't get confused. You might read your Bible, you go to 1 Samuel, you go to 1 Kings, and you start hearing that God dwells in darkness. And you are wondering, does God have business with the devil? That order of darkness speaks of the mysteries of God. But the darkness I'm talking about here tonight is the devil and his government. You need to understand that there are forces you will require to counter his operation so that everything stolen from you can be restored. Because these beings are organized. Make no mistakes about it. Many Christians undermine the devil and his operation. That's why they have problems. Paul said, don't be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. This is not an attempt to exhort him, but this is to fortify you with knowledge so that you have an advantage. If you undermine him, you'll be shocked what he's capable of in your life. Darkness is well structured. This is why the believer must be fortified with spiritual weapons to overcome darkness. Are you following this? When you are dealing with darkness, there are two principal things you will find. Number one is that darkness is separated into ranks. Not every demonic being or not every demonic operation is at the same energy level. There are darknesses that operate only at the frequency and the jurisdiction of individuals. They don't have the clearance to operate beyond individuals. The Bible speaking in Matthew 12, 43 and 44, it says, when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, it goes about in dry places, looking for where it will inhabit. It says, if he doesn't find any, he didn't say he goes and enters a territory. He doesn't have that jurisdiction. There are spirits that control territories, but there are spirits that their jurisdiction is only in men. So if they can't find men, they are stranded. All they will be left with is dry places of torment. So what they will do is that they will have to return to that man. Because of necessity, they must be in a location. And so as they return to that man, he said, if that man is clean, but not filled, he said, that spirit will bring seven other wicked demons. What do you mean by clean? He has encountered Jesus.
He has received Christ. He is born again. But he has not been fortified with knowledge. You know what Jesus said? He said that spirit will come with 7 more wicked demons. And what he will do to that man will be worse than the state he was before he ever met Jesus. How can a man encounter Jesus? Demons are cast out of him. He receives life. And you say his state becomes worse. Because darkness has the power to jeopardize your existence. And then there are darkness or demons, devils, princes that rule over territories. So what they do is that they come to exact dominion over a territory. They are not interested in men. You know why? They are not disembodied. They have bodies. These ones are not demons. They are fallen angels. So they don't need to possess a man to have a body to function. All they needed was the authority of man to have legitimacy over his jurisdiction, over his territory. These ones are not looking for bodies. They are looking for territories because they are princes. So their obsession is territorial, not men. Because if they take territories, they will not possess one man. They will create institutions and systems that will enslave men and generations. Those type of darkness are higher in authority than the ones that possess individuals. You study your Bible, Daniel chapter 10, verse 20 to 21. The Bible said, Daniel began to pray, seeking deliverance for Israel. And suddenly, answers released from heaven from verse 12. But the answer never met him for 21 days. And you know what? When Gabriel showed up, he said, the prince of Persia withstood me for 21 days until Michael the archangel was sent to come and support me. So the prince of Persia is not looking for a man to possess. He's looking for Babylon to exercise government over. It's a territorial prince. So you may be born again, but if you enter Babylon, you'll be shocked that corruption will enter you. You will come under another influence. You may not be possessed by a demon, but you will not know why you can't fulfill purpose. If you study Isaiah 19 verse 3, you will hear of the spirit of Egypt. Why Babylon corrupts? Egypt enslaves. That's why you find many people doing what they don't like. They are Christians, but they are under the influence of a territorial spirit. Now, because of the influence of that spirit, they will not fulfill purpose, and they don't know why. So you see, a prophetess who is a mighty seer is yet a prostitute. You see, an apostle who should shake nations is a drunkard. And you are wondering what is going on. It's under the influence of darkness. A prince that rules territories. That's the challenge many Christians have. And so when we are talking restoration, we are talking with an understanding that we know the operations of darkness. And we are not just saying God should give us what was taken from us, but to give us authority to operate above their influence. Do you know there are many people in Abuja today who live fake lives? Very fake. Because the darkness operating in this land is to put pride in people so that they walk and create impressions, not make impact. And even churches are creating impressions in Abuja and not making impact. Because of darkness. So you can even be a church, yet you are under that influence. Instead of winning souls, instead of praying and making impact, it's all about packaging. Acting as if all is well, whereas nothing is happening. But you just want to appear big before people. It's darkness at work. That person is enslaved. That church is enslaved. And that's the crisis of our generation. And then there are darknesses that control generations. You know, people from the age of 11 to 27, 28 are called Gen Z. Their God is their phone. They wake up with it and they sleep with it. That's why you see that the rate of pornographic addiction is on the high. Because it came with that intelligence. It will be difficult when you find a Gen Z who love God. Thank God for that person. Most of them are living in deep secret sin. Deep. From masturbation to perversion to immorality. Because the devil has put their grave in their hands. So the grave is no longer dark. It's handled. The phone of many people is now their grave. Because there are princes that are interested in a generation. And before Gen Z mature, there's already Gen Alpha. Who are already ahead of their phones. They are looking for what they can talk to. The phone is too slow for them. So a boy of 1 year, 4 months can open an Android phone and search anything he's looking for. He doesn't even know how to talk yet. But he has a superior intelligence to the current operation.
That is why the growth of AI is rapid. Because they need computers they can talk to. They need animated and augmented reality to work in. So nowadays, they create goggles that you wear that takes you into a virtual world so that you participate. It's not enough to look. You want to participate. That's the realm they are working in. You think those intelligences were not affected and interrupted by spirits? Because they are spirits that are interested in generations. That's the level of their authority. So why some affect individuals, others affect territories, others affect generations? So when we are talking restoration, we don't just need restoration for men. We need restoration for generations. Look at this generation. Full of knowledge, no power. Because of arrogance. We know all the mysteries in the world. No power. Because there is a force that pops the mind. And everybody thinks they've arrived. Whereas what our fathers did 30 years ago, we've not scratched it. But we think we have arrived. Because there is a territorial influence. And there's a transgenerational influence. So we need restoration. Not just for individuals, but for generations. And our generation is in urgent need of restoration. This is why I want to teach you tonight on the forces that provokes restoration. See, the intervention of God, the help of God rather, has three operations. There is restoration, there is intervention, and there is preservation. Every time God helps a man, one of these three must happen. Restoration is to give you back what you have lost. Intervention is to stop you from losing something while you are yet going through it. Why preservation is to prevent you from entering it in the first place. So there are those that the devil has already bastardized. So when God shows up, the years that are eating up, God will have to restore. Because those ones don't even have anything again. Everything is already lost. But in the omnibenevolence of God, he has a technology of returning to you what you have lost, although you no longer qualify to have it. That's how God works. It's a system of his mercy. There are many people who have a calling, but they have lost every grace on their lives. They have lost every door. They have lost every opportunity because they bastardized it. God allowed them to pastor a church for 2 years. They have slept with 20 people. So it's a risk to have them. Now they have repented. Genuinely, they are on fire. But nobody is giving them church again. Because they have lost it. They have destroyed too many destinies and they've brought reproach to the name of Jesus. But there is something in the mercy of God that although according to the system of justice, they no longer qualify to answer the call. But the mercy of God will say no. Give them another chance. How will God do it? It's a system called restoration. And so now that they are converted, God can create another opportunity. There are many people who God gave them many business opportunities. They blew all of them up. All the money they had, they blew up. Today, they are in Bahamas. Tomorrow, they are in Beirut. Next tomorrow, they are in Barbados. They are looking for different kinds of women for pleasure. And they wasted and ran down companies that God gave them. 15 years after mighty, mighty life, they are now beggars. And you look at such people, you are wondering. They have all the business intelligence, but they've blown all their opportunities. How else can God help such people? Except as there is a technology in his mercy that will bring to them what they have lost. That technology is what we call restoration. Do you know there are many people now who because of careless life have terminal diseases? From HIVs to all kinds of terminal diseases. Because they never heard the voice of reason. Campus from 100 level. They've slept with 20 people. Now they have found purpose. Now they want to do something that will affect their generation. They know, but there's no life anymore. They already have 3 months to live. They have 5 years to live. I have found purpose, but I have destroyed my body. What will happen to such a person? There is a system of mercy called restoration. So what God will do is, if he needs a new kidney, it will be imported from heaven. If he needs a new blood, the whole blood can be revamped. For that type of intervention, whether it is healing or open door, whatever, it's called restoration. Because he has lost everything. But God can bring him back as if nothing ever happened. It's a dimension in God. But that's not all. There is intervention. There are some people who are about to fall.
Everything has been put in motion and God steps in. I told a story some years ago. A brother lost his fire. After a while, started watching pornography. After a while, started chatting women on Facebook. And he encountered and made some friends. And they had arranged a meeting and everything. He was alone. And the lady came to visit. They had talked and they were ready to get into intimacy. Suddenly, God moved a friend from another state to come to his state. Even the friend didn't know why he came. And that very hour, where iniquity had been planned out, lo and behold, there was a knock on the door. I kept looking for your house since yesterday. I just found your house now. And the guy entered. Whether this brother will be happy to see his friend that he has not seen for long, or to be angry because he has messed him up, he didn't know. And brother sat down. He's going nowhere. He brought gist from primary school, gist from secondary school, gist. And they kept gisting until the energy for immorality died. After a while, the brother now entered stories of revival. And they started talking about Francis Hunters. They started talking about Smith Wigglesworth. They started talking about John Knox. Suddenly, this guy that is called had died. His fire had died. The embers began to rise again. The embers began to rise again. After a while, the brother broke down and began to cry. Even the harlot that came broke down and began to cry. You know what? Both of them had callings. And the devil wanted to cement their grave so that they will never fulfill that calling. But God sent intervention. And a brother drove him from another country, from another state, just to see them. When he saw them, he left. His assignment was over. It's called intervention. It is God's system of helping his people. And there's a system of preservation. Before it comes, God changes your path. That's the one me I prefer. There's no, life is not enough to make too many mistakes. I don't want to learn by experience. I want to learn from others. I want to learn from the world. I want to learn from the Holy Ghost. So before I enter, a force will push you away. Not because you are strong, but because there is a system of preservation. So before you make the mistake, something will happen that will put you in the right path. He said, if you are going in the wrong direction, you will hear a voice behind you telling you to turn. This is the way to go, so that you don't make mistakes. And so we will study restoration, we will study intervention, and we will study preservation. We have looked at the protocol of restoration. Now let me show you the forces that sponsors restoration. I'm showing you this so that you'll be encouraged. No matter where you are, God can still do something glorious through your life. No matter how far you have gone from God, there is still hope for you. You know what the Bible said? It said there's a hope for a tree that is cut off. It said at the scent of water, it will sprout again. Even a tree that is cut off has hope. So I'm telling you now, whether bodily you have been damaged, opportunity wise you have shut every door, there is something called restoration, and there are forces that sponsor it. If you know these forces and you lay hold on them, your life will bounce back. Even you, it will surprise you. How come I am where I am? See, most people who are making impact, they are not there because they qualify. I'm one of those people. We don't qualify. Restoration found us. God found us, brought us back, and began to use us to help others. But there is a protocol, and there's also forces that sponsor it. 10 of them very quickly. Number one force that sponsors restoration is the Rhema word of God. I will list it for you, so wherever I stop, you will study the rest. The Rhema word, the sent word. When God wants to change a man's life, he sends his word to that man. If you catch that word has the power to bring even the dead back to life. Number two force that sponsors restoration is prophecy. You may not be there, but God can send an agent to speak what is heart over a territory, over a system, over a generation. And then you'll show up because of that word that is hanging over that system. Or over that generation, you find something come upon your life and you begin to fulfill destiny. You may not even know why.
is the power of prophecy. And as we study it, you will see that even dry bones can become an exceeding great army when prophecy goes forth. Number three power that sponsors restoration is the ministry of sent men. When God wants to change your life, many times he sends men in your direction. All men are not the same. Please know this and it will help you. Some men are systems of grace. If they make contact with your life, they upgrade your existence instantly. They carry it. Some men are systems of opportunity. When they come around your life, they may never give you money, but because they are with you, certain doors will open for you. So they came to open you to different possibilities. You must discern them because they may carry your tomorrow. I'm telling you, many people have not received restoration because they have despised the ministry of men. I understand the place of witchcraft and manipulation. That's not what I'm advocating for. If anybody wants to control you and bend your will, reject him. But also be humble enough to recognize men that come to change your story. Number four is the system of discernment of seasons. When God wants to change your life, what happens most times is that he activates your discernment. Not every season is the same. There is a time to plant. There is a time to harvest. Some seasons are long. Some other seasons are so short. If you don't discern it, they will pass. A whole cycle is gone. A whole cycle. Hope you know that a man can travel for 10 hours. Those who have accident, it doesn't last for more than 3 seconds. That means for the whole of that journey, that 3 seconds is where they needed help. That's how seasons work. You may have a long span of time, but there is a small cycle within that time that defines everything about your life. If God wants to help you, he will make you not to lose it. Do you know why the man was sick and was there for 38 years? He couldn't discern seasons. He said at a certain time, the angel of the Lord went down and troubled the waters. Whoever enters first is cleansed. So a sickness that can be cleansed in a moment kept somebody for 38 years. That's how powerful seasons are. So when God wants to restore you, one of the things he does is that he opens up your discernment to know your seasons and your time. Number five is the system of faith. You cannot change anything in your life except as faith is born in your spirit. Every time faith comes alive, possibilities abound. That's why all the work of the patriarchs of old was summarized into one word, faith. Through faith, the elders obtained a good report. Faith is what defines the quality of your life. And if you will have restoration and restoration again and again, faith must be activated in your heart. Number six, virtue and character. There are certain people that the only help they should have, their poor character shut that door. God routs all of his wisdom to move a man from another country to enter the small office where you are working just to help you. But the day he came, that was the day you were talking rudely to somebody. And he shakes his head. He will not even remember you were there and walks away. What you didn't know is that that man that passed to change your life. Did you know what happened to Abraham? In Genesis chapter 18, God became man and was coming to give Abraham the child that he had trusted him for 25 years. But God was passing as if he was going. He took Abraham's compassion for strangers and Abraham's heart, the heart of accommodation, to insist that this man come and drink water. The sun is too harsh. It was that one act of virtue and character that, number one, made Abraham to become a father. Number two, gave Abraham the rank to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah. Just one act of virtue and character. Many people are where they are because of their poor character. If you will have restoration, something must happen to your character. I'm telling you, when God teaches us character and virtue, our destiny depends on it. Number seven, divine direction. Sometimes God whispers into your spirit, take left. That take left, what it will do for you, you'll be amazed. Sometimes God whispers into your spirit, give this person help. You don't know what it means. I'm telling you that some of the most remarkable transformation that people enjoyed were born out of simple, unspiritual, unsupernatural direction that the Holy Ghost gave them. A still small voice just gives you an instruction. The moment you obey, your life turns around forever. Are you seeing why Christians don't enjoy these things? We should enjoy these things on a daily basis, because the forces that sponsor them are many. Why are we not enjoying them? We don't know them and we don't take advantage of them. The leading of the Holy Spirit. Number 8, priesthood. This is where prayer comes in. This is where worship comes in. This is where covenant lifestyle comes in. All of that embodies what priesthood is. If you will engender restoration, you need priesthood. In 1 Samuel 6 from verse 12 to verse 14, the Midianites had oppressed Israel until they took all their possession. The Bible says Samuel showed up. He planted a stone, poured oil on it, did sacrifice and called it Ebenezer. And he said, until now the Lord has helped us. Instantly, God showed up. Even the land that they stole from them, the Philistines, the Bible said they returned all of them until Gath and Ekron. Everything they lost, priesthood returned it back. It's a system of restoration. So when the devil attacks your prayer life, he's doing something much more than prayer. He's stealing your seasons. He's stealing your life. He's stealing your future. And he's denying you restoration. Number 9 is the anointing. Number 10 is the fear of the Lord. If you will have restoration, these 10 forces, don't joke with them. Use them to your advantage. It will change your life forever. Now, let me explain 3 of them. And then we shut down for tonight. The worship has already taken us to a height. I want you to sustain that tempo. Go home with it. And spend some time to pray. Something will shift in your life like never before. Let's begin with the Rhema word. Psalm 107 verse 20. I want to read scriptures now. Hallelujah. Word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. When God wants to bring restoration to your life, he sends his word. You know, the whole universe was created by the word of God. The Bible said it sustains all things by the word of his power. So there's nothing in creation that can defy the word of God. So no matter the condition you are in, every time God wants to help you or change your story, he sends the word. Because intrinsic in the word is the power to combat darkness. He said, in the beginning was the word. John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4. And the word was with God. And the word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He's first of all showing you the authority of the word. This is why the word has power to create change. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. He's also showing you again that everything animated is animated by the word. The life that sustains creation came from the word. And the life, particularly for men now, is the light of men. So men can only have an advantage when the word comes to them. The light that your destiny requires is not this bulb. It's the light that comes from the word of God. And this is why many never enjoy the fullness of God. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So when a man does not have the sent words, he will be confused. When a man does not have the sent word, he cannot make advantage in life. But whatever circumstance you are in, the moment the word comes, the power to create change is in the word. You don't need to do anything. Your job is to receive it and believe it. You will be shocked that that word you receive will go to work. Because the word is the one that combats darkness. He said, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Look at the story of Joseph. He was in prison. Every help he knew how to take advantage of, he had applied. No one worked. And in Psalm 105 verse 17, the Bible said, until the time that his word came. The restoration of a man is tied to the time that his word came. And he said, and the word of the Lord tried him. He said, the king sent for to lose him. Even the ruler of his of the people, he made him lord of his substance and ruler of his household to bind his princes at his pleasure to teach his senators wisdom. What does a prisoner, what business does a prisoner have to live and rule among kings? Word has come. So it doesn't matter your circumstance. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. You know why we don't pay the price to receive the spoken word? It's because we don't know the excellency of that word. I know you are barren. I know you are sick. I know things are not working. Your problem is not what you are looking at. Your problem is the barrenness of the word of God in your spirit. The moment the word of God comes to you, those things will disappear. Because darkness knows when light comes. And light is encapsulated in the word. You see, Christians run around looking for intervention for things when they should contend for word. They think their problem is the barrenness. They think their problem is the cancer. They think their problem is the business that is not working. Ask them, when was the last time you heard God's voice? They don't remember. That is their problem. If you want things to change, catch the word. And there's a technology. See, when the Bible said until the time that his word came, he's not necessarily saying when God chose to help you. God has already moved in Christ. All of us are mightily helped of God. Your word is already in the spirit. You are the one who have not caught it. So that time he's speaking about is not dependent on God. It's dependent on you. You can receive your word today if you know how. And there are two major ways of receiving the word. Number one is by waiting. You see, I will stand upon my watch. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1. And I will see what he will say to me. And he said, the moment you wait, you will hear. The reason many Christians are not receiving words is because they are not waiting. We are a hasty generation. Everything is on fast pace. So we think we will apply the same to God. It doesn't work that way. He's a king. So when you are done praying, wait. When you are done studying, wait. When you are done fasting, wait. When you are done worshiping, wait. Your prayer is you talking to God. Wait until God talks to you. That's when prayer is completed. The worship is you exhorting God. Wait until God speaks. That's when the worship is completed. The problem with us is that we go to God and we talk to God and go. When you talk to God, it's good. It shows him how much you love him. It shows him how much you honor him. But if God does not talk to you, you remain in your circumstance. That's why people are praying and they are wondering, nothing is happening. They are not hearing from God. That's why people are fasting. They are wondering, nothing is happening. They are not hearing. The key to hear is to wait. Prayer will open your spirit to receive. It makes you become like an antenna. But you will not use or utilize prayer if after you pray, you don't wait. You know why? When you go to God, your spirit is noisy. Sometimes it will take 5 hours of prayer to quieten your spirit and to activate your receptacle. It is when you are quiet that you should wait. But that's when we run away. The brother, the sister worships God until he weeps and cries. Now his spirit is ready to receive. He cleans his eyes and he walks away. And the angels are wondering, the king has not spoken. Where are you going to? The king has not spoken. Until he speaks, the exercise does not end. Your answer is not in your talking, it's in his talking. That's why when you are done talking, wait for him to talk. But many cannot wait. I will stand upon my watch to see what he will tell me. And he said, write the vision. That's why the Bible said in Isaiah 40:31, he said, they that wait upon the Lord, not they that pray, not they that worship. You will worship to be able to wait. You will pray to be able to wait. You will fast to be able to wait. Because waiting is to be silent in your spirit. Having everything in you focused on God to receive. You know what a waiter does now? A waiter doesn't talk. He stands and watches the customer for any sign. If the customer does like this, the waiter shows up. So your duty is to become silent, completely focused on God, so that even if God whispers, that's what David said. Once has the Lord spoken, twice have I heard. That's a waiter. He knows what to do to receive the word, but we don't receive words. So we have record that we are prayer champions. We have record that we are worshippers, but our life is not changing. Because your life will not change because you pray. Your life will change because he speaks. Because when he speaks, he can open seasons. When he speaks, he can open dimensions. When he speaks, he can change your story. And so the first thing that provokes restoration is the Rhema word. The Rhema word is not your Bible. Your Bible is Logos. The Rhema word is the specific word that the Spirit of God whispers into your spirit. You may route it through meditation. You may route it through prayer. But you must hear the whisper. Sometimes you will study this Bible for 5 hours, for 1 month, and then as you are there waiting, one of the verses you have read out of the many books will stand up. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. That is your word. Although you have read the whole of Psalms, you have read the whole of Proverbs, you have read the whole of Isaiah, now that you are done reading, you are waiting for him to talk. And he will whisper from what you have read. That is when what you have read will become powerful. Until the time that his word came. Your word has not come. That's why you have not seen restoration. But if you understand how this thing works, waiting will become part of your life. This is why the early church, they had such a thing they called quiet time. They knew the technology. So every time of the day, they take 30 minutes. They take 1 hour. Not prayer. To stay still before God. He said to Moses, be still and you will see the salvation of God. So they stay still. You are a businessman. Wait. All the strategies are not in the principles of economics. You are a pastor. Wait. Your next level is tied to that whisper. The first way God provokes restoration is by the Rhema word. How much Rhema word do you have? Hope you know when you have a Rhema word, you can run with it for a lifetime. One of the Rhema words God gave me many years ago is, because I live, you will see tomorrow. That's why some of us don't pray for death anymore. For life. To be saved from death. I don't know how to pray those prayers. God told me, because I live, you will see tomorrow. I have caught it. I am living it. Because this is not Bible I'm quoting. This is a word sent to me. Because I live. The other day we were in Zambia. And we were just talking the things of God amongst ourselves. I entered the room just to do something and come out. Pastor Godwin and the rest were outside. As I was coming at the door, I heard, no disease. Wow. No disease. That means the era to rule over sickness has come. It's a word. It has come to you. You can quote 10,000 Bible verses that you have memorized. That is good. But the real power is in the one sent to you. Because every time you speak it, the integrity of God is brought to bear. He's the one who said it. And because he said it, he will watch it to accomplish it. He will watch it. This is how the children of Israel won their battles. You told our fathers. See, they knew it so much that even the one he told their fathers, they inherited. You told our fathers that this and this and this will not happen. We are holding you to it. And God shows up. And you are wondering, why are these people always succeeding? They have words. The Bible says, carry with you words. Carry them. That's your asset. Your asset is not the money in the bank. Your asset is not the car. It's the words that are in your spirit. Carry with you words. Carry with you. So that when circumstances rear up their ugly head, you will shoot those words like arrows. You will fling them like bullets. And the moment you say them, they don't see the word. They see God. He sent his word. And heal them. And deliver them from all their destructions. Number two. How do you activate? Do you know why I'm sharing this? So that you will know that what you are looking for is not in God's hands. It's in your hands. Because when we are not mature Christians, we sit down in idleness. Saying, if it will happen, it will happen. If God wills. Are you saying all the people dying is God willing? Are you saying all the people suffering, that's the will of God? No, God is not that wicked. When he gave us Christ, he gave us all things. We now need to mature in spiritual understanding to access all the things that are given to us that are in heavenly places. This is one of the technology. Wait. Say they that wait upon the Lord. They mount up with wings like the eagles. When they run, they are not weary. When they walk, they don't faint. See, don't allow your life spiral down to nothingness because you are so busy. Cut down that thing taking your time and learn to wait on God. Your future depends on it. You have run around Abuja, run around Nigeria for 15 years. What has changed? One word from God can change your story. One. Sometimes you don't need many. He said to Abraham, get out of your country. Get out of your kindred. Get out of your father's house to the land that I will show you. In blessing, I will bless you. Immediately, his destiny was sealed forever. You can't curse Abraham. He doesn't need your help. Kings came to him and said, we want to bless you. Take all the spoils. He said, I won't take a latchet from you. Lest you say you made Abraham rich. You can't talk like that unless you have a word. If you have not caught a word, if they want to help you, collect it. Use pride. You will regret for 10 years. See the problem with Christians. A man who has caught words is talking. They are mimicking him. And their experiences are worlds apart. I was listening to Bishop Oyedepo many years ago. He said he went to preach in America. Somebody came to him and said, what are the needs of your ministry? We want to help. He said, our ministry have no needs. I looked at him. My God. An American billionaire comes to you and say, what can we do? You can't talk like that, sir. It's not arrogance, though. He has heard something. He has heard something. And he knows the jealousy of God is with him. If you tell me that for now, I'll say, is it God that is leading you? Are you sure you heard God? Alright, come. Do a few things. Give the Lord a big shout. I'm showing you what makes men invincible. I shared with you here how that I was caught up in a vision. And I saw war taking place. I saw some creatures like crocodiles standing. They were fighting. And a power took me into the battle arena. Suddenly, while I entered, I discovered there was a weapon in my hand. And I started fighting. One of the elders that was fighting came to me and said, you come. Carry all the people that we are rescuing and take them to safety. So I started carrying them. When they were going to safety, they were dropping dollars. They were dropping diamond. They were dropping gold. They say, please take, keep it, we dash you. Okay. I was gathering. That's why if you did tomorrow, I will honor the fathers. I saw my own in the spirit. It's not doctrine. Because in honoring them, I found rest. See, don't follow people doing what they do. Make sure you catch your reality in the spirit. The word is catalambano. When you catch it, you become invincible. You'll become invincible. And I can tell you, there are many fathers in this country that have shifted me. I don't do human worship, but I have revelation. Your word. Insist on your word. Somebody will leave this service every Saturday. Pray for 10 hours. When you pray, wait. Keep quiet. Let your notebook be by the side. Pray 3 hours. Wait. Be there. Play a music song. Let your spirit be ascending. Just be waiting. There will be a time and a place where a whisper will come. And you may just hear, I've made you the joy of many generations. Jump up and begin to celebrate. From that day, if you like, change your name to Joy of Many Generations. You are correct. That's how we rule in this realm. He sent his word. And he's sending words to all of us every day. The problem is that some are catching, others are not catching. If you don't catch, be ready to be a slave of others. Because what enthrones you is the word that you carry in your spirit. Number two, prophecy. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 14. I'm showing you the excellency of spirituality. So you don't take them for granted. See, I was shaped, my life was shaped by prophecies. Some that they even said, that I didn't remember. When they happen, the Holy Ghost will remind me that this experience you are having today was created when this prophecy was given. Because prophecies can create possibilities in your future. They don't only give you direction. No. Prophecies don't only give direction. They create possibilities. Sometimes what was not in your future, when a prophecy comes, it creates it. What business does Mary have giving birth to the Messiah? But there was a prophecy. A virgin shall give birth. A possibility opened in her generation. And because that possibility opened, any virgin can become the mother of Jesus. Not because she did anything, prophecy made it happen. Go and read your Bible. Mary didn't do anything that other virgins didn't do. There were many virgins in Israel, but she was picked. Because that's the excellency of prophecy. It can change your future. But you see, when Christians don't know this, when God is speaking, they take it for granted. You know what the Bible said? It said, despise not prophesying. Despise not. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 20. Despise not prophesying. Do it at your peril. Some of us have negated the future we should have been working with in now, 5 years ago, because prophecies came, we trivialized them. Forget all these church people. What are they doing? When prophecy came, church had not begun. Even this world was created by the prophetic word. You despise it at your peril. Listen, the moment your spirit bears witness that this is God talking through a man, better humble yourself. Because your future is about to be created. You know what happened in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 3? Economic structure of a nation shut down. Women were eating their children. If you read verse 6 of that scripture, the Bible said two women came together and agreed. One said, today we will eat your son. They didn't care about mother. They didn't care about love for children. Mothers could kill their own children and eat it. Is callous enough to be a murderer? It is even more callous to kill your own child. But it's unimaginable to eat your own child. But that was where humanity was reduced to. And women agreed to kill their own children turn by turn to eat. To show you that the government had nothing to do in that economy. And the Bible said the king was so frustrated. He was walking helplessly, not knowing what to do. Because the whole nation was besieged. Walk out and die. Imagine, an army came to kill a nation. They didn't attack them. They surrounded them. When they finished eating their food, they will come out, will kill them. Such was the nature of the battle. Have you not been in a circumstance where your turn, every side is blocked? No way out. When you are there, what you need is prophecy. And the Bible said, Elisha, when the king finally sent to him, he stood up and told them, by this time tomorrow, hi. Oh my God. You know, some things are scary. But it will take only a man who understands the excellency of prophecy to dare it. By this time tomorrow, a cup of barley will be sold for 1 shekel. That means the economic hardship will turn around in 24 hours. The prime minister said, listen, sir, I believe in God. That is why he said, even if the window of heaven, that means he knows the sovereignty of God. But he said, listen, what we are talking about here is economics. There are principles. There are laws of inflation and deflation. There are laws of production. We are talking, there are laws of sowing and reaping. And there are laws that God vetoed. What are you talking about? Even if the window of heaven opened, it won't happen. And the guy looked at him and said, you will see it, you will not partake of it. And the moment prophecy went forth, all of the elements of creation came under pressure. Everything. The wind began to move like foot, chariots of horses. How did wind develop those sounds? And the enemy thought a nation was coming to attack them. They ran and left all their goods. And it was lepers God used. Lepers. Not an army. So that nobody can take the glory. See, when prophecy is at work, the excellency is of God and not of man. He didn't use an army. He didn't use the connection of the king. He didn't use any agent or alliances. Lepers. You know who lepers were in that world? They were rejected men. Lepers could not even participate in the activity of the civilization. They were the ones God used. You know, when the lepers were going to them, the people were hearing the footstep of soldiers. That means when one of them walk, it's like 1,000 men.
what was going on? The prophecy that Elisha gave became a trumpet under their feet. So when they marched into here, they were coming. Why sit we here until we die? Let's go to the camp of the enemy. If they kill us, they kill us. If they don't kill us, we eat. As they were calling, the angels now followed them. And an army ran from lepers. When they finished eating, they now told themselves, this leftover, what do we do with it? You know what they were calling leftover? Something that was enough for a whole nation. That's prophecy. Somebody will enter a leftover that can support a nation. Oh yeah. Can you imagine? How can resources that can sustain a nation become the leftover of lepers? Prophecy. Prophecy. The excellency of prophecy. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 to 14. Sit down. The Bible said, Ezekiel spoke. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And he said, the hand of the Lord took me by the lock of my hair and carried me to a valley of dry bones. And God asked him, mortal man, can these bones live? He didn't even have enough faith to say, yes, they can. He said, Lord, only thou knowest. What I'm seeing here, if I'm to answer, I will say the truth. And the truth is that these bones are dry. Which year will they come alive? What can become of them? We are not, you know, at this level, we have gone beyond Lazarus' grave. Lazarus was dead for four days. His brain had decayed. We are talking people that have not just decayed, but every flesh had left. It was dry bone that was left. And we are not talking one man. We are talking a multitude. This is the power of prophecy. If it's one man that came back to life, you can say, wow, that's powerful. Resurrection. We are not talking resurrection here. First of all, we are talking commanding the elements of nature to gather every pieces of their cell. That means if the air carried their cell, their skin to Egypt, carried to Babylon, carried to Congo, the air will first of all go and look for all their cells, all their tissues, all their organs that scattered and bring them back. So air was sent on errand first. And when they bring them back, the air will build an intelligence to take every tissue to where it was taken from. Every bone that was detached will have to come back to look for its own bone. And then when bones connect, tissues will merge, skin will be formed. Even at that, there were a million dead people. But prophecy was still at work. He said, command the east wind to come into them and to give them breath. And he said, I spake as I was commanded. And suddenly, a valley of dry bones became a garrison of a great army. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what died in your life. When God sends the prophetic word, things can change again. And I make bold to tell someone here tonight, all the things dead in your life, they come back to life now. I make bold to tell someone tonight, everything you have lost is restored to you tonight. I make bold to tell someone tonight, as you walk out of this place, you step into the version of your tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. A vital relationship, I speak to you by the spirit of prophecy. Every relationship you need for your glorious life, step into it now. You have lost an organ, you have lost a tissue, you have lost something in your body. In the name of Jesus the Lord, and by the power of prophecy, receive that organ now. Some of you have lost things. You have lost callings. You have lost businesses. You have lost things that God gave you. In the name of Jesus, according to the word of the Lord tonight, restore, restore, restore now. Sit down for a moment. Some of you will step into dangerous realms of life. You will be amazed. See, there is the law of sowing and reaping. I'm not against it. But there's also a realm where you reap from where you did not sow.
It's prophecy that makes it happen. You don't always need to work hard to succeed. As much as is within your power, be diligent, be hardworking. But in addition to your labor, I bless the works of your hands. In addition to your labor, I decree, reap from where you did not sow. Is it this bastardized economy that you depend on hard work? People work, they refuse to pay them. There are many government workers now. They have not been paid for 11 months. Hard work, we work when system is working. You can't be talking hard work in a system that does not work. And so everything you need, I create them by words. By the Spirit of God and by the word of the Lord, I create those things in your life now. I decree and declare, let every dry bone in your life rise again. You see the beauty of prophecy? When the men rose, they didn't rise as ordinary men. They rose an army. When were they trained? So it's not just resurrection that took place. It's an upgraded existence. If they rose as men, that would have been good. But they rose up as an army. As God shifts your life, you become better than what the devil stole from you. The Bible says when a thief is caught, he will not pay what he stole. He will pay sevenfold. So I decree, become seven times better than you ever were. Sit down for a moment. Forces that sponsors restoration. This is why when a man is speaking by the Lord, please be careful not to dishonor him. I know there are many hirelings, but be careful to find the voice of God in men. Be careful. And because I'm talking prophecy now, let me also speak about the ministry of the sent man. Even God sometimes become a man to help man. Genesis 18 from verse 1. When God wanted to change Abraham's story, he didn't sit in heaven and say, let Abraham have a child. There are certain things that God routes through men. That's why you must be careful. See, some of you who God sent to your life is your houseboy. It will take humility and discernment to receive the ministry of sent men. Some people are living around their help, but they've never discerned them. You know what Hebrews 13 verse 2 said? It said, be careful to receive men. It says, some have rejected angels, entertained angels, not knowing. Even God, when he wanted to save the world, he came in the likeness of a man. Until today, most Jewish people have not discerned Jesus. They have not accepted Jesus. Meanwhile, that's the captain of their salvation. And that's what's affecting many people now. People who carry your tomorrow are walking with you every day, but you are too high-minded to receive from them. You are too undiscerning to receive from them. You must allow yourself humility and discernment so that you receive. The Bible said by a prophet, he led them out of captivity. And he said, by a prophet, they were preserved. Hosea 12:13. By a prophet, he brought Israel out of captivity. When God wants to intervene in the affairs of men, most times he sends men. Man is God's method. In Exodus chapter 3 from verse 7, he said, I have heard, I've seen the affliction of my people, and I have heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters. Why didn't he go there? He was looking for one man to send. Imagine if that man comes to your life and you despise him. It took 430 years to find that man. Some of the men that some of us have despised, it took God 10 years to route their path into our lives. And we despise them. Only God knows how many years it will take him to find another to send. You need a lot of humility and discernment. Receive from men. Men carry seasons. Men carry dimensions. Men carry graces. And I'm not just talking about pastors. I'm talking about anybody, anywhere. Did you read what the Bible said? It said your sons and daughters will come from afar. It says strangers will stand to build your walls. So we are not just talking pastors. We are telling you that one of God's method of restoration is men. So when you deal with men, deal with men from the place of humility and the place of discernment. Because you don't know which one carry your tomorrow. Sometimes it's even the people walking under you that will shift you. Just one suggestion. But you are Alpha and Omega. Nobody can talk around you. And that's why you have remained on one valley all your life. Because you can't receive impute from the blessings that God gave you. What made David become like God? Men. He said daily, God added men to his army until his host became like the host of God. Be careful when you deal with men. Men carry things. In 2 Chronicles 20:20, he said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophet, so shall ye prosper. So there are certain men ordained to change the stories of others. And there are certain other men that God just comes upon so that they can fulfill a purpose per time. Discern both of them. Deal with strangers with discernment. And when you deal with people who carry grace, I beg you. See, this is a generation trying so hard to discredit everybody who calls himself a man of God. Not everybody is fake. There are genuine people who carry genuine graces. Don't allow the noise in the generation build suspicion in you instead of discernment. Some men have been built and equipped to change the stories of others. They are sent men. I wish I had time to talk a bit more about the anointing. Very quickly, let me mention two. Divine direction. Please, as much as is within your power, consult God before you take actions. Most of the things we lose because we never consulted God. No matter how lucrative, no matter how promising that thing is, don't take a step until you've heard from God. Because in addition to sending men, God can speak to you too. So be careful not to take steps except there is the confirmation of the Holy Ghost. God is the only one that can give you abundance even in the desert. Isaiah 48 verse 21, it said, they tasted not while he led them. He caused the rock to bring out water for them. He cleaved the rock also, and the waters gushed out. When God is the one leading, anything is possible. Allow God lead you. You know what Jesus said? One of the principal ministry of the Holy Ghost is to bring us leading and leadership. He said, I have many things to tell you. John 16, 13. He said, you cannot receive it. How be it when the Holy Ghost is come, he will guide you unto all truth. So there is a place where God sent his word to you. But there is a superior existence where God leads you. You follow him as he leads you. In fact, the whole idea behind the ministry of the voice of God is so that he can lead you. My sheep heareth my voice and they obey. They follow. They follow. Don't take decisions without consulting with God. You receive God's word when you wait. But you'll follow God. If it has to do with following God, you're following him by entreating him, by consulting him, by checking with him, by insisting that he leads you. So anything you want to do, give it time and pray. Father, what will you have me do? When God sees that you are consistent in demanding his interest and his position, and you are doing it genuinely, eventually he will begin to bring direction. But many times, even when we are asking for the formality. Lord, what do you want? Okay, the next thing you're on the call, I want to buy the land. Were you not the one who just asked God, what are you thinking? He has not answered. It's not 24 hours yet, you are buying land. He just looks at you and shakes his head. I know men. But if you say, Lord, what do you want? I'm waiting until you speak and you stay there. Not too long, he will start talking. Because he knows you will not move until he speaks. So while you wait to hear God, you inquire to be led of God. You persist to be led of God. You consort to be led of God. And many Christians, they don't. They follow what they learned from Harvard. They follow what they learned from the university. Meanwhile, life is too treacherous for what you learn from campus to lead you. It says, it's not given to man that walketh to order his step. You need divine direction. If everything the devil stole from you will be returned. Finally, what I taught tonight is the anointing.
In Isaiah 10:27, he said, the yoke shall be broken, the burden lifted off your shoulders because of the anointing. Look at the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Luke 8:43-48. Jesus never spoke to her. The Holy Ghost didn't even lead her. But she knew that there was an anointing. And she knew what the anointing does. And the Bible said she said to herself, if only I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. This is a woman that have lost everything. The Bible said all her money had been taken by doctors. She had lost everything, but she knew a system. The system of the anointing. There is an oil that ends human affliction. I will make contact with that oil. And as she began to search, seek, and contact the anointing, restoration took place. As touching the anointing, there are two things. Every believer carries an anointing. So there's an anointing on your life. If you want restoration, you must stir that anointing. So the anointing upon you, you activate it by stirring it. That's why you pray. That's why you worship. When the anointing becomes activated, there's something the anointing does. But you see, many people carrying anointings, you know, the anointing is likened to oil. It's congealed. So they have an anointing that emits favor. Favor that can cause kings to seek them. But the anointing is congealed. So they cannot receive restoration because the oil is not flowing. You know what Esther said? There was an anointing on her life called favor. But she knew that anointing doesn't just flow. In Esther 4:16, he said, let us fast for 3 days. When we are done fasting and we go to the king. Although it's unlawful to go see the king at this time. But when this oil is stirred, anything is possible. And after 3 days fasting, she went into the court of the king. And the moment the king saw her, he saw the oil before he saw her. He said he found favor in her. And the king called her and said, what do you want? He said, tell me, I will do it. Before she answered, the king said, even if it's half of my kingdom. So you know that guy is not just talking. That guy is under his spell. There's a power commanding what he's saying. Because no king can ask you, what do you want? You have not answered. They now went further to say, even if it's... So the guy was willing to share his throne. Because he perceived favor on the lady's life. Now, what will happen if that lady is carrying that perfume every day? Because she's stirring it. What will happen if Esther began to live a fasted life? That means if she goes to the market, everybody will have their goods and say, take half. Everything she touches, she will possess. Because the oil was there. The problem was that she stirred it when she had need. But when you become mature, you don't wait for problem to stir the anointing. When you wake up in the morning, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down beside the green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. You are stirred. That's how Jesus lived. In Mark 1:35, the Bible said, early in the morning, a great while, he said, Jesus went to a solitary place and prayed. So Jesus does not enter the market from his bedroom. He enters from the mountain. So anything that confronts him, he's already stirred. He's already stirred. So a day came, they now discover that this man has overflowing oil. So people started scrambling to touch him. Started scrambling. And in Luke 6:19, the Bible said, everyone that touched him, virtue left him and healed them all. See, don't allow your anointing be on your head. Allow it to flow. Cause it to flow. It's the flowing anointing that produces result. But for the anointing to flow, it must be stirred. For some of you, it's worship. For some of us, it's fasting and prayer. For some of you, it's giving. Find the code of your anointing and keep engaging it. It will sponsor what you cannot have. When the Bible said, Gentiles will come to your light. It's talking about the oil you carry. Kings will come to the brightness of your rising. Why are we celebrating Prosper today? It's not because he's the most handsome man in Nigeria. But there's an oil that makes him stand out. So even if you don't love him, you will wake up in your house and start singing, out of my belly shall flow rivers. He has made himself a household name. And somebody can hear that song and say, Kai, take 100,000. Another person hears that song and say, Kai, take 50,000. He didn't ask them for money, but the oil is a spare. The oil can manipulate. The oil can condition. The oil can compare. Because encapsulated in the anointing is a power called anakazo.
When men hear it, when men touch it, they have no choice but to respond. I carry an oil on my life. There is a force here. That's why my business cannot be desolate. That's why my ministry cannot die. There's an anointing here. When men hear me talk, something happens to them. When they hear me, they hear God. And something moves on their inside. Sometimes people will call you from Bahama Island. They will call you from the United States of America. They will call you from the United Kingdom. And some can't even reach you. All they are looking for is your account number. They heard a message, they can't sleep. And the only way they feel they should respond is to honor you with a seed. You didn't ask them for money, but there's something the anointing does. There are some, the moment they hear you, people have gone on 40 days fasting to pray for God to preserve me. When they heard me, they say, Kai, this one won't go. This one won't fail. This arrow must hit target. This one will not be cut off. So most of the resources we are mobilizing to do ministry, we don't even know where they are coming from. The anointing is taking care of it. If I need 1,000 intercessors to pray for me, when they hear the voice, the anointing will recruit them. We may never meet on earth, but when we go to heaven, Jesus will tell you, these were the people interceding for you. Did you not hear? Oh, see, stir that oil. Some of you is favor. Some of you is wisdom. Some of you is intelligence. Some of you is strategy. Some of you is open door. Don't keep quiet. What's the code of your anointing? I know my own. I live a fasted life. I pray like I breathe. Every day, worship is flowing in my chambers. I can't sing well, but I know there are people who sing well. If you open my phone, there are songs that belong to Prosper. There are songs that belong to Dunsin. There are songs that belong to Okopi Peterson. There are songs that belong to Victoria Orenze. There are songs that belong to Nathaniel Bassi. As he's playing, sometimes my soul will pierce into the heavens and the oil will start moving. I'll be on the bed. My stomach will be vibrating. It will be vibrating. And when I go out, the healing anointing will start flowing. How did it happen? There is a code. There is a key. There's an access. See, stay your oil. Stay it. You know the problem with the foolish virgins? They didn't stay the oil. So they didn't have enough. Carry enough oil. It will deliver you from all the afflictions of life. It will open doors to bring restoration to you. And so I prophesy over you. Everything required to stay your anointing. Receive discernment to access them now. I decree over you, everything required to stay your anointing, receive the grace to stay now. You are not deficient. In Acts 10:38, the Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and what? Power. In Acts chapter 1 verse 2, concerning you and I and the apostles, it said not many days from now, you too shall be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. The same unction that God put on Jesus is what he puts on you. Can I shock you? The Bible said in John 3:34, that God gave Jesus the Spirit without measure. In John 1:16, concerning you, it says, of his fullness. Of his fullness have all we received. Grace heaped upon grace. You have the anointing of Jesus and you have it in his fullness. You are not deficient. The problem is that you don't stare. See, if it's prayer that is your key, don't let anybody kill your prayer life. Don't let any devil kill your prayer life. See, when they are singing, when you sing small, enter tongues. Because they are accessing their own key. Find your own. Makiria, Bakaka, Ziza, Abro, Kakatura, Baragata, Susa, Aptehoria, Vuva. Pray until the movement begins. Like a fountain.
like a fountain. And a point will come, the oil will overwhelm you. You will not be able to contain yourself. So you start wearing your celestial garment. From that point, when you talk, it's a weapon. You carry an anointing. And in case you have not mastered how to stir your own, that's why God puts it in everybody. So that you encounter others who carry too. So the code for activating your own anointing is to know it, to know how to stir it, and to engage it until it's stirred. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:6, he said, this commandment I give to you, that you keep in remembrance the gift of God that is in you, and ensure that you fan it to flame. Let it burn. When oil is stirred, a point comes, it catches fire. You become volatile. And like John, Jesus will bear testimony concerning you that you are a burning and a shining light. That's when your generation will seek you. That's when everything you lost will be returned. Stay it. And while you are here stirring it, honor the one others carry. You are not the only anointed man in the world. All of us have different measures. So while you carry your own, be careful that somebody else carries his own. There may be 1,000 apostles. What you carry is unique. You may not be an apostle, but you carry an oil. So discern your oil and stay it. Then also discern the uniqueness of oil in other people. So that you can receive from them too. Because we are a house. Iron sharpens iron. Virtue flow into virtue. Oil intermingle with one another. So you need to receive what others carry too. It will become an advantage. How do you receive from them? Number one, by honoring them. Without every contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Anything somebody has and you don't come under it to honor it, you can't receive it. Number two, desire it. If you don't desire, you can't have. It's a desire spiritual gifts. Desire it. And then number three, receive it by faith. Not religion, not ritual, by faith. I'm not saying give people money to receive oil. But if God leads you to sow. Some of you, God will lead you to pray for them. Some of you, God will lead you to go to where they are ministry and sit under. All of it is faith. But when you use ritual and say, I'm going to give money to receive, that's no longer God. Except as the Holy Ghost leads you. Are you following? Make sure you take advantage of every available anointing. It will provoke something in your life that you can't receive. Lift your hands and pray. I came by prayer. I will say in prayer. When I leave this world,
when I leave this world, I will go in prayer.
I come by prayer.
I come by prayer.
I will say in prayer.
I will say in prayer.
When I leave this world,
when I leave this world, I will go in prayer.
Hear me. There are a few things I know God has given me. One of them is healing anointing. I decree over you now, under this unction, anyone that walked in here with sickness, it could be arthritis, it could be deafness, it could be blindness, it could be HIV, it could be cancer, it could be tumor, hepatitis, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, I decree, let that yoke break now. Let that yoke break now. As you walk out of this place, you are walking out whole in the name of Jesus. There is an anointing for speed on my life. I know it. I have seen it. I speak over you in the name of Jesus. Any area of stagnation, any area of limitation, I decree and I declare, let this anointing come upon you and move you forward in the name of Jesus. Some of you in the next 1 week, what will happen to you will be more consequential than what has happened to you in 10 years. In the mighty name of Jesus, step into that dimension now. Lift your hands and honor him. Honor him. Honor him. We're out of time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Your lives will never be the same again. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus. Listen, if you are here tonight and you have not consciously surrendered your life to Jesus,
You have not consciously. Nobody is closing their eyes. This is for your own good. You can't walk in the fullness of the anointing except as you encounter the anointed one. If you have not received Jesus, he's not the Lord of your life. You are still living for yourself. This is your hour. Lift your right hand up. I want to pray with you. Lift your right hand. Everyone listening to me now, you are here. You know Jesus is not your Lord. This is your hour of visitation. I'm seeing some hands. Congratulations. Listen, be bold about it. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you are not ashamed of me before men, I will not be ashamed of you before my Father. Wherever you are standing, move to the front here and make a public declaration. Surrender publicly to Jesus today and let it be forever that you belong to him. Everyone that lifted hands, come out. Clap hands for them. They have made the best decision of their life. Everything I give to you,
I surrender. Everything I give to you,
I give to you.
Withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing, withholding nothing.
Glory to Jesus. Listen, God in his faithfulness and mercies has made receiving Jesus and eternal life the easiest thing on earth. He said the way you receive him is to believe in your heart that he's the Son of God, that he died for your sins and on the third day he rose from the dead. And then use your mouth to confess and say, Jesus, from today, become my Lord. He said when you do that, the life of God enters you and God can make claim and lay claim over your life. If that is what you want to do tonight, place your right hand on your chest and say this and mean it. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe with my heart that he died for my sins, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. Today I confess with my mouth that this same Jesus becomes the Lord of my life. I surrender completely to him. Thank you, Father, for receiving me. By faith, I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. In the name of Jesus, I have declared. Father, keep them. Preserve them. Cause these ones to walk in the fullness of the blessings of the saints in light. And cause them to become light in the dark world. Everything they've lost is hereby restored. I decree and declare as they walk out of this place, their experiences will confirm the faithfulness of God. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name, we have declared. Give the Lord a big hand.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations. You are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email. prayer@EncounterJesusMinistriesInternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.EncounterJesusMinistriesInternational.org. God bless you.